This is class number 7 for February 28, 1985, lesson 32 and a half to 33, pages 109 to 113, paragraph 266 to 275. And the course is Baptist Bible Seminary first year Greek class, the second semester, spring semester, 3 hours. Our text, Dr. William Hershey Davis, Beginner's Grammar of the Greek New Testament. This is sponsored by the Bible for Today, 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. And the teacher, Dr. D.A. Wade, Director, Bible for Today.
Let's open with a word of prayer as we prepare the class tonight. Dear Lord, we thank you for this class again. We thank you for these men who have come and who are here. We ask thee, Lord, for those who are absent in our midst tonight. May they be used of thee and blessed of thee. Now help us as we study the lesson that is before us. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus and that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that he enables us to know him and to know these very words. We thank thee for the Hebrew class last time, last year, and for this Greek class. And we pray that this may be an encouragement to us and to each of our hearts. Help our families, keep them safe from harm, in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen. All right, then, we have tonight the 32 and a half, which just means the exercises, and then all of lesson 33, page 110. Let's go over the vocabulary. There's 5 short ones. There's not too many. And those, the man would be what? Ha-aner, and
Andros.
And the daughter? With the article, don't forget the article.
Sugatros.
All right, and then the who, which, or that, or what? The relevant pronouns, masculine, feminine, it would be what?
Relative pronoun.
You're thinking of the relative mother, but this is the relative pronoun. Host, hey, and host. Notice the rough breathing on those, masculine, feminine, or host, hey, ha. And then the mother is what?
He made mater.
He mater, or he mater, and then he's matros. Mm-hmm. The fathers?
Ha pater.
Pater.
And patros.
All right, to patros. Any questions on the vocabulary? All right, let's go through then the declension of pater. And, of course, I want you to put the article right down, just to keep in practice, but we have pater all the way down. This is the syncopated liquid stems, third declension, all right, nominative and the singular. Pater, patros, patros, patri, 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 patera, pater. All right, and then the plural. Pateres, paterum, paterum, patrasi, 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 pateras. And the word aner, which is the word for male, the species. Aner, let's go that singular. Aner, andros, andros, andri, 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 andra. And then aner. Alright, then the plural. Andres, andron, andron, andrasi, 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 andras. Any questions on either of those words? Pater, aner. Now let's go to the relative pronoun, who, which, what, or that. First the masculine, singular. Hos, who, who, ho, 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 hon. And then the plural. Hoi, hon, hon, hois, 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 hus. And then the feminine. Hey, heis, heis, hey, hey, hey. Pain. Don't forget the rough breathing all the way along. Plural. Hi, hon, hon, heist. Remember, change that to sigma at the end. Heist, and heist, heist, and has. And the neuter. Singular. Ha, hu, hu, ho, 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 ha. The plural. Ha, hon, hon, hois, 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 ha. Questions on that one? All right, if not, would you get your papers out? The date is the 28th of February, 85. Make sure you put your names on them so we know, especially Larry's.
The one without the name is always Larry.
Yeah. Food test, we wouldn't want to get into a long discussion about him again. Cyclops. All right, the vocabulary, first of all, 5 words. Number 1, relative pronoun who, which, that, or what. Relative pronoun masculine, feminine, neuter. Number 2, the man, which is the male. Number 3, the father. Number 4, the daughter. Number five, the mother. Any questions on those? All right, then the next ones, give me Ha Pater in the third declension all the way down, and then give me Ha Aner, and then give me Has He Ha all the way down. Any questions on what we need? All right, work on that, and you let me know when you're ready. All right, we'll turn on our recorder here. We've talked about napo, total abstinence from wine, and we're getting some verses. The Greek word napho, which is noon, eta, phi, omega. See what verses deal with that subject. All right, we have napho is the verb, and the nephalaos is the adjective, see? So, 1 Timothy 3:2, be vigilant. That word vigilant is the word here. Sometimes it's translated sober, but in this case it's vigilant. Nephalaos. That means... that's for pastors. See, that's for bishop elders. 1 Timothy 3:2, that context. So that's totally without touching any alcoholic beverage. Regardless of what it says, not beside the wine or powering on or whatever. The next one is 1 Timothy 3:11, which it could be for deacons. See, sober. That's translated sober. And that's nephalaos. Nephalaos. Nephal, noon, eta, phi, alpha, lambda, epsilon, omicron, sigma.
So it's a different form of the
nephalaos.
Same word?
Oh, yeah, nepho and nephalaos. See, sober. It's the same, it's the adjectival form of nepho, which is your verb, nepho. So that's deacons. So if you have deacons and pastors, no question. But then you get into Titus 2:2, that the aged men be sober. Here's nephalaos. Not drink anything that has any wine or alcoholic beverage whatsoever involved in it. See? Now that's in the Liddell and Scott's Classical Greek Lexicon, those two volumes, you know, that they've got the big, you look up in there and it's revealed very clearly in Classical Greek that that's the meaning and root, and in Koine Greek as well. That's where I first found out about it. I looked that up one time, and that was the thing that, of course, as I was preaching through and studying and writing on Titus, I used that. Now, the actual word napo, which means the verb, is 1 Thessalonians 5:6. But let us watch and be sober. See? Not touching wine at all. And let us, that doesn't refer only to pastors, bishops, and elders. That context, I believe you find, is general. I think it's all believers, 1 Thessalonians 5. Do you have your Bible there, Larry? You can look that up and see what the context is. Mine is pretty well ripped at that point because we studied 1 and 2 Thessalonians in our Bible study class, and I've got a big tear at that point because we studied it for a couple of...
5:6?
Yeah, 5:6.
Therefore, let us not sleep.
What is it? Now, who's that context? Believers generally? Not necessarily pastors, bishops?
It says, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night.
This is 1 Thessalonians 5:6, right?
Yeah, well, 2.
All right, very good. But that context. All right, also verse 8, 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Let us, who are of the day, be sober. Well, there again, it's napho. That's the word napho.
Context is
it's all
believers.
Ye brethren. See, that's the whole brethren. All right, let's go to another one. 2 Timothy 4:5. Look that up, if you would, please, Larry. 2 Timothy 4:5, to be sure of our context. But watch thou. Now, that word is translated watch here. Mm-hmm. It's the verb napho. Be sober. Be absolutely unmixed with anyone. How can you be watchful if you're drunk or even have alcoholic content, intoxication in your bloodstream? How can you really be watchful, completely alert, 100%? That's why that word means without any alcoholic content, whatever. Totally abstention. Totally abstain. 1 Peter 1:13 is another. Be sober. Translate sober. See the context there. 1 Peter 1:13. 1 Peter 1:13. See what you got there. As far as I know, I have never read this in any other book. I found this myself in the book of Titus as I wrote through, you know, I first wrote my thesis at Dallas, the exegesis of the book of Titus. And now I'm going through in the Bible for today, and the first page is Titus, and I'm embellishing, and I'm adding to a lot of practical things, adding to the things. As far as I know, I've never found this any other place, and I wish people would come right out and teach it and thunder out on it. See, it's in the Greek text, and it's in the Bible, see. But if you don't know your Greek, you don't know what that word means, you don't have any leg to stand on, because take a little wine for thy stomach's sake, you know, and various other little verses people throw at you. How are you going to, the old pastors, you know, that's one thing, and deacons. That's 1 Peter. Is that generally for all believers,
sure,
brethren? Be sober.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Also, 1 Peter 4:7. Be ye therefore sober and watch. Now, here's the word for watch. Not the word for sober, but watch. How can you be watchful if you're drunk? See?
What's that?
1 Peter 4:7.
Well, the whole epistle is never once.
That's still brethren. There's no
believer.
All right. And one final one. This is a nice one. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant for your adversary, the devil. See? That's the word for sober. I'm Naples.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, in other words, you're not supposed to be drunk on duty when he's around. And if you are, the implication is when you're inebriated or have a mixture of alcohol, Satan is easier to get at you and to stumble you.
And you know that's true.
You know that's true, that's for sure. So you see, here we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 with Naples, and there's 3 with Nephelios in the New Testament. That's all. And the 2 out of the 3 of Nephelios are pastor and deacon. 1 is for all believers. So that gives us 6 + 1 = 7 verses, solid for all believers, plus 1 each for pastor and deacon, absolutely, totally, without touching wine. And they may say, well, you know, you can't really...
Now, you were talking about take a little wine for your stomach's sake.
Yes.
I remember reading that, but where is that?
That's in Timothy.
How would you answer that?
Well, you see, what was the oinos? The little book downstairs, if you men don't have that, it's an excellent one. Wines in the Bible. Bible
oh, yeah.
Wines.
Yeah,
remember
we
that?
Do have
you
that.
All right. Now, if you look that up, we carry it all the time. If you look that up, you'll notice that as far as this man's contention, basically, oinos or yayin in the Hebrew is unintoxicating, non-intoxicating wine. And it has to
is
be...
Is there another word for intoxicating?
No, they use the same word for both. But there's strong drink is a different word, you know. But I mean, they're both used, and he says throughout the context, unless the context clearly indicates otherwise, it's always non-intoxicating beverage. It's the fruit of the vine. And he gives you 2-3 ways of keeping it, or fermenting it. In the natural heat of the thing, it does not ferment. And he gives you reasons why.
Vinegar, he said.
The temperature and so on, and... To make it ferment, you've got to take certain actions, you know. And as far as how to prevent it from fermenting, he's got all that figured out. I don't know, it's not in the top of my brain as to how, but it's...
About the must, about how they strain it.
Or yeah.
Take the must out of it.
It's more difficult than you'd think to turn that into automatic intoxication. People think automatic was so hot over there, it wouldn't automatically turn into an intoxicating drink. Well, it's not the way it works. And... there's a lot of ways, and then people say, well, can they help it? It's so hot. Is there any way? They didn't have refrigeration. Is there any way they keep that fresh so it doesn't turn? And then he'll mention several ways.
Yes.
I think boiling is one way, or...
used to make a syrup.
Syrup or something, yeah.
Yeah.
And then mix it with water when you're ready to drink it. Now, the little wine there. Now, that is the one answer to that particular problem. The second answer, Steve, on that, take a little wine for that stomach's sake, is that as... this man, MacArthur, says the percentage of alcohol is very minor and minute in that particular situation where wine is mentioned. I don't agree with him. I believe the oinos is non-fermented. He said it's so minute compared to what we have today that you can't compare our wine or alcohol or beer or anything else with what they had. I don't know what he said, 1 part in 3 or 3 parts of water or something, making it a 1% alcoholic, whatever. The other answer to that, Steve, is that the percentage would be so low that it would tend to kill the bacteria that would be harmful to the stomach and so on. I don't agree with that, and therefore, you see, it would kill any impurities that were there. I don't agree with that. My interpretation of it is that it is grape juice, it is the fruit of the vine, and don't drink water because that water can be contaminated with all sorts of salmonella and diarrhea,
especially
you know,
in that area.
That's right, diarrhea, germs, and different things that are very bad in that area. So just drink pure juice, the fruit of the vine, which I think is good. A lot of people, health people today, drink juices. You know, carrot juice and apple juice, cranberry juice, and
the very
grape juice.
That fellow that
prune juice. I think.
That fellow that your friend Dr. Fuller follows. His advice on the
the vinegar
cider
water.
Vinegar.
Yes, cider vinegar.
That same fellow said that the best juices there are for you are either grape, cranberry, or apple.
Is that right?
According to him.
It's interesting. So that's the picture here, fellas, on this Naples. and just pin them right down, pin their ears back on them. And if I have time, I will show you the Liddell and Scott's quotation on the meaning. That those two volumes, you know, if it's over in my other room, in the living room, to show you what that. But get these verses down. There's seven that are for believers. All right. Did you get any other questions you have there?
No, just on how should I mark this.
All right. All right. Everybody set to go? Let's see. Steve, these are your old ones? Or are these,
no, those
these are
new
ones. These are ones today. Okay, fine. All right, let's take a look for next week then, what we have ahead of us. We'll go on to 34, and then half of 35. So let's take a look at lesson 34 on page 113. Notice we'll take up the continuation of third declension nouns, and also that'll be stems in iota. And then interrogative and indefinite pronouns. So let me just give you the overall assignment at first, then we'll go into detail on any explanation of it. First, we'll take the vocabulary, paragraph 276. We'll take the declension of polis, 277. Hey, polis, the city. And then we'll take the declension of the interrogative pronoun, 280. Tis and t. Tis is masculine, feminine, t is neuter. And then we'll take... Well, we sometimes take 281 also. We better go easy because we'll have other things and you have a lesson.
It looks it's exactly
it's
the same.
It's the same except you have the accents different, see. Tenos and genitive and tenos, you see.
Actually, we can take it and it'll give us a bigger base. It's the same thing anyway.
That's right. You don't have any accents. And since you're not learning the accents. But you see, the accents are different.
Mm-hmm.
They do manage to change those, but basically it's the same. Well, you want to take it? 281? Take a chance on missing double or
whatever.
Enlarge the base? All right, so let's tentatively take the 281 if you want, and then we'll you see if you want to back down as we move along time-wise. And then, of course, the exercise is 286. And then for 35, we'll take the vocabulary 287, 288, the declension of Abbasileus the king. And then number 290, the question of genos, which is race, ta, genos.
That should be it. Huh?
That should be it. And no exercises, so it takes care of that.
A lot of vocab, too.
Yes, a lot of vocabulary, really strong, solid vocabulary. So if you want to redivide that in any way to make it for the following week, less the following week is a short vocabulary of 6 words. And there's practically nothing in the way of declensions, except there is a aorist, you know, verbs, a couple of verbs there. But if you want to recast it, you're welcome to be open on that. Any suggestions on that? If you want to take Vassilos and Genos the next time, you can.
What do you think, Larry?
Huh? What do you think?
That's fine with me.
So next time we'll have, what, 2 exercises and just 1 small vocab plus 2 little...
Well, next time we just have...
Yeah,
you're right. It would be 2 exercises and a very small vocabulary and a couple of verbs. See? Forms.
Let's do that.
Do that. Take the 2 basileus and the genos, tag it on the other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll do that then. Just stop at the second vocabulary, and that'll be the end of that. Right? So you have 2 large vocabularies. All right, got those? All right, let's take a look then what we have. Page 113, lesson 34, the vocabulary. The resurrection is what?
Page 113?
Yes, page 113.
Anastasis.
All right, anastasis. Okay, and the genitive? Taste?
Anastasis.
Anastasis after the sigma, yeah. Sis and anastasis. Now, Anastasia. Anastasos. I guess you'd have to say Anastasis, Anastasos. Ana histeme, if you know the derivation, Ana is up and histeme is to stand, so Anastasis is the standing up, resurrection. I don't know if we know any memory hits on that. What declension is this?
Third.
All these are third. And of course, whenever you give the genitive, you know that the third declension. Mm-hmm. All right, the remission or the forgiveness is what?
Aphesis.
Aphesis or aphesos. Taste aphesos.
Mm-hmm. I thought remission was different from forgiveness.
No, to remit is to send away, to send off, and therefore to forgive. See, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, no forgiveness. Re is again, and mitio is to send again. The Greek word ap is from apo, away. The asis ending is from eimi, to send. That's the Greek word. You haven't come to that verb. The eimi, af eimi, see, aphesis, sending away. See, that's the picture. Behold, the Lamb of God who sends away, who taketh away the sin of the world. That's the word picture in forgiveness and remission. Taking away, not covering up, as the Old Testament, who shall cover the sin shall not prosper, but taking away, absolutely removing.
So is that, I mean, from just what you know off the top of your head, is that the only word for forgiveness, or is there a different?
Well, I think there are other words for forgiveness. Other than aphiemi, although that's probably the one that's used the most.
Somebody I just read recently told...
I don't have my vine. Vine would be really good on that.
There was a difference in the New Testament between remission.
Someone said
forgiveness.
That?
Yeah, I forget who. I don't know if it might have been in Fuller's book or what, where the forgiveness speaks of the thought. No, it was Strong, Augustus Strong.
Well, maybe theologically he's talking about forgiveness, but he's talking about the Greek words, is he? Or theologically speaking. Okay, here's aphesis and parasis. Aphesis is complete remission, aphiemi, the standing word by which forgiveness, remission, sin. This is in Trench, page 114, synonyms of the Greek New Testament. Parasis, a passing by, a pretermission, a temporary, let's see, and a temporary dissimulation. Temporarily passing by something, overlooking it. See. So apparently these are the main words that he's got in the New Testament. Par ami, par is alongside us. He's sort of going alongside of something. But af ami, sending away completely, not just sending alongside of you, instead of in you, putting it to the side of you, but you're still close to it. But af ami is pushing it all the way over. So that's a permanent, complete forgiveness. Those two, see, that's how a trench would define. I think that's a good word picture. There may be other words. As I say, Vine's expository dictionary of the New Testament words would be a good one to look at, or just plain Strong's concordance under forgiveness in English and see the different keys and see how many Greek words there are. I think probably you won't find too many more than aphesis and parasis. Those two probably would be, according to this one, at least the two major ones. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, Trench would have handled them in that context.
Thank you.
But I'm sure Strong, you know, his theology would have theologically, you know, how you theologically define remission or forgiveness, you know.
He does a lot.
For English, you know, theologically, but as far as the Greek words, you got to come to grips there.
Yeah.
All right, knowledge, denowledge is what?
Gnosis.
All right, hey, gnosis, and taste gnosos, gnosos. The knowledge, and of course, Gnostic, you know, those who know everything, and agnostic, agnosis, not knowing.
So
just remember him.
Gnosos.
Gnosos. Mm-hmm. Gnosos. Yeah, gnosos. When there's no accent, you have to keep it the same, I guess. Gnosos. All right, then the power is what?
Dunamis.
A dunamis and taste dunameos. Dunameos. So you'd almost have to say dunameos. Change that accent, I don't understand. Of course, the dynamite and the dynamic, you see, I remember hints on power. The tribulation or distress is what?
How in the world do you say that?
Eclipses. All right.
You don't want to have the lisp with that one.
No, that comes from it, although it wouldn't seem to come from tribo, which means to rub or to chafe. And so this is the rubbing or chafing, tribulation, distress. I don't know any memory of the English that way. The judgment as well.
Chrysis.
And tase Christos. We've had, of course, crino, haven't we, and all these things. The word crisis is probably a good word, crisis. Although to us it means a juncture of crossing over something that's difficult, a difficult time, but judgment, crisis, crino, the creation as well.
Ktisis.
All right, hey, ktisis. Hey, ktisis.
It's funny the way they put two
ktisos.
Two vowels, or two consonants together like that, without a blend.
That's right.
Not really blend.
Ktisis. Ktisis. It's like pneuma, see? Pneuma.
Yeah.
P in the new.
In gnosis here.
Gnosis, yes. They do that quite often. So, ktisis comes from kteo, my kteo, which is to create. I don't know any memory in English for that. The exhortation is what?
Paraklesis.
Hey, paraklesis. Okay, hey, paraklesis stays paraklesos. Paraklesos. I'm sure it must be on the eight of the accent. Hey, paraklesos. All right, the faith is what?
Pistis.
Oh, by the way, the exhortation could be a memory in paraclete, you see.
Yeah.
Comforter, though, because this word exhortation does mean comfort or exhort, exhortation. Hey, ptisis, right, is the faith, and taste ptisos, ptisos. All right, faith, ptisis, I don't know, memory, we should have a lot of memories on that one.
Yeah, pisteo is, you know.
Pisteo is to believe, and so faith, ptisis. The city is what?
Polis.
All right, hey, polis, and taste polis. Wait a minute. Polaos, it ends there. But pistis is pisteos, and polis is polaos. Ktisis.
I think it changes the accent to the epsilon.
Ktisos. You see, you got to be careful where, that changes, but you got to be careful where to drop this off. For instance, anastasis, anastasos. You got to have some consonant to end it, see, to end the root. Aphysis, aphysaos. You put the is and change it to aos. But on the polis, polaos. And pistis, pisteos. The city, you become a city, of course, polity really means city. The rules, metropolis, that's good, metropolis. And then interrogative pronoun, who, which, or what?
Tis and T.
Tis and T. All right, tis is masculine feminine. T is neuter, means what? That is who. And then the indefinite pronoun, one, a certain thing, someone or something is what?
Tis and T.
And tis or T without the accent. That's the difference. Where?
So does the accent go to the word before it or the word after it? Is that the idea?
Yes, uh-huh. That would be an enclitic, probably.
Hmm?
Pardon me?
Same louder.
However, though it's not accented there, they do have an accent that's placed on it because it's an enclitic. Loser retains accent according to the principles given. In other words, in the chart, page 115, you do have an accent on it, but when you write it, to distinguish and differentiate between the interrogative pronoun who. This does not have an accent.
Well, one has an accent this way, and one has
That's
an
right.
accent that
acute
way.
Acute and grave, right. Acute and grave. Grave to the left and acute to the right, see. The top one has an acute tis, and the other has a grave. But see, in the vocabulary, it has no accent. And that's quite often the way it's written, without accents. Why they put them in this chart is end up as declined like that, except the accent is placed on the ultima, because it is an enclitic. And loses or retains accent according to the principle. So it's an enclitic, therefore loses and retains accents. Therefore, why accent it if it's an enclitic? See, normally enclitics have no accent. So I don't understand why he accents them, but he does. So that's the way it goes. Any other questions on tis, t? All right, interrogative adverb where is what?
Who.
Who, right?
I wish they would have told us that they have that in the exercise.
What's that?
Hmm.
Oh, they did.
They told you in the footnote.
Oh, a poo they had in the last?
They did, but they didn't footnote it. I didn't even notice that footnote.
Hmm. Oh, further up.
They look forward on the same page 113 and use it in the next side of the page 113. Yeah. Probably that's what they did. Right?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to the other. I guess we'll pause here. Let's go on now to the. Any questions on the vocabulary? Let's go to the question of polis. If not, hey, polis. All right, and go down the list, starting with singular, feminine it is. Polis, polaos, polaos, pole, 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 pollen, plural. Polis, polaon, polaon, policy, 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 polis. All right. That's the question on that. That's your third declension. Aos, A-A-N, ace, aon, aon, S-E-S-E, ace.
That's only after a yoda that you use that form?
Yes.
The aos?
Yes, the aos. There's a yoda stem. Unless there may be some others that I'm not thinking of right now, but I think basically it's the yoda stem that has the aos. We haven't had that before, have we?
No.
We had tros, but it ended in sigma, so there's your sign. See, just like tase in the vowel, tase ends in sigma, so there's your genitive ablative sign. Polaos. Any other question on that? All right, notice paragraph 273, or 278 rather, observations, which you can just use as background. If you have any questions, if not, answer it. Paragraph 279, like Apollos rather, are declined all assumptions as not having an accent in the ultima, and cis, cis, cis. They're mainly abstract substantives of the feminine gender. Abstract, see. And active, cis. Ma is the suffix usually for a passive, the result of something else. Philema is the result of love, you give a kiss. Philema, see, a result. Philesis is the active kissing, see, that's the active kissing. The cis, I mean, this is we're constructing here. So the cis and this ending is normally an active state, and the other, the ma, is a result. So, any questions on that? So once you know polis, you know all these other. All right, let's go to paragraph 280. The declension of the interrogative pronoun tis and t, who, or what, or which. Notice tis is masculine and feminine, both. All right, let's go down to singular. Tis, tinos, tinos, tini, 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 tina, plural. Tines, tinon, tinon, tissi, 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 tinos. And then the neuter. T, tinos, tinos, tini, 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 t, tina, tinon, tinon, tissi, 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 tina. All right, so those are the questions. Why are you doing this? What are you doing, I should say. Not the why, but sometimes this means why also. But what is this, and what is that, and who is this? Who is going to the game tonight? The regular question pronoun, see. Not the relative pronoun. He is the one who sent me. That's the who of the relative pronoun. That's the ha, se, ha. But here is a question. Who is coming to my party? Masculine. Who is coming to my party? Feminine, see. What is coming to my party in the way of presence? That's neuter, see. T. Any questions on that? The bottom one is tis, a certain man went down and fell among thieves. That's in the parable of the Good Samaritan, the actual account, I should say. I don't think it's a parable, it's a true account.
Is that what they mean by, is that an example of what they mean by indefinite pronoun?
Yes, a certain man, a certain one, a certain person, see. And that's what they.
So they.
That's what
really say a certain man.
It just says a certain one, yeah. Rather than man, yeah, a certain one. Tis. I believe you'll find that true. Is it Luke 10 or Luke 12 rather? Luke 16? The Good Samaritan?
Sure.
All right, let's try Luke 12. Well, the easy thing is getting the English Bible where you got things much easier. And then we go from there. Luke 12, I think, is it 16? Or is it 10? Unjust steward. Rich man Lazarus, 16. Good Samaritan. Among thieves. 10, is it? Oh, that's terrible. 12? Seems like it's a 12. Parable of the Rich Fool is 12. Why can't I find it?
Gotta look at the top.
Check the concordance.
Yeah.
My concordance is useless.
Luke 10:30, we'll go back on as far as the Good Samaritan is and see what we have in the way of Greek words used there. Yes, and taking up, Jesus said, taking up the parable, I guess, or his talk, not the parable, but his, presuming his talk, anthropostis, there he is, mm-hmm. A certain man, katebainet. What's going down?
It doesn't really mean man. It means a certain,
one. Yes. Well, you find that true in a lot of, but it is masculine or feminine. You don't know which, but from the standpoint of they beat him, that's feminine, and took him. See, I mean,
well,
masculine. So
they probably use,
they use masculine
regular pronouns.
Yeah, right on down through. See, because so they beat him and they put him on his, put him on his
out toe or something.
Out tom instead of out. Tame, see, tossed instead of out tame.
But didn't you say anthropostis?
Yes. Oh, yes, a certain man. So anthropos, there you go.
Oh,
yeah. Okay.
A certain man.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Then
why
did they throw the tis in there then? A certain.
Well, yeah. That's not any old man, not the man, ha anthropos. That would be the man. It's predefinite. This is indefinite.
Some guy.
It's not just anthropos, which is an indefinite article without any article, but it's tis. Yes. Certain ones, one particular man. See, it was specified.
Why would they put man in italics in the KJV here?
I don't know why they would. Because
it's odd. They have man in italics.
Really?
Mm-hmm. In my version here, in my Nelson.
A certain man. Yeah, I got in my margin here. The analytical Greek.
Anthropos seems a whole lot more solid than
certain man. Yes, certain. I don't know. Maybe they forgot that anthropos was there. See, a lot of times you have tests where it is a certain man, you know, a certain man, a certain person. They just say a certain, you know, whatever, but a certain one. But, the King James translators use man as we would use one, a certain one. See, they use man meaning a person. See, that's the usage in that time. That's perfectly clear. No, I don't know why they put it in italics. I really don't. It should be on the italics side, I would say.
Maybe instead of person.
Person, maybe. Hmm. Or instead of male. In other words, anthropos. But obviously, here's a case of anthropos being used of a male individual. See, which you don't need on air all the time, because the pronouns he, I'm sure, are there, showed mercy on him. For instance, 10:37, he that showed mercy on them, he is the neighbor. See, on him. Well, you see, the him has got to be a male, because it wouldn't be obtained. See, that's how you can determine what is by the context. But with these androgynous people, you know, like from Dr. Malincott, Virginia Malincott, you got to watch them. You got to have proof, you know. You got these other ways of making sure that anthropos can refer to male, and there's no question about it. When you have on air, you're absolutely positive. There's no question that that's never a female. 37. Yes, out to toward him. Have compassion out to. See, it'd be out. Mm-hmm. What would be your genitive? Out taste for the feminine, right? Out taste.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is why you need to know your declensions and endings and so on, so that you can interpret things correctly and properly. All right, so much for tis interrogative and tis indefinite. Yes, we didn't get the indefinite, but let's skip down to 281. Note the indefinite pronoun is defined like the interrogative, declined rather, except the accent is placed in the ultimate last, and of course it's in clitic, so it takes the action of the preceding word. All right, any questions further on that? I looked at 282. Examine the use of the interrogative pronoun. Number one, who art thou? Si tis a. You. Who you are, see. Who are you, see. And of course, you wouldn't need to see, but it is there, and it would be emphatic if this were in Scripture. Vice versa. You, why are you there? All right, notice.
Oh, wait a minute, which word is.
What, pardon me?
Which word is which on this? Sutis.
Well, tis is who, see? Tis is who, is you, okay. Is you, and are is a. You are.
You are.
You. You are who?
Who you are.
Who you are. Who you are.
Utis.
Who art thou, right? All right, your Utis, Ulysses says. No one. All right, the second one is what pay or what reward have you? Tina miston echete. Here is in the accuser, see? What? It's a neuter. Miston is neuter, therefore tina is neuter. See? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Tina in the neuter accuser. You have what? So that's the direct object of echete or echo. All right, number three, who is this man? Tis estin ho anthropos hutas. Who? There again, tis estin. Who is the man? This one. So this one, this man.
And so that agrees, that is agreeing there with anthropos?
Yes, anthropos tis, therefore it being the nominative case. Right, tis anthropos. Who is this man? And then whom are you seeking? Tina zeteta, you are seeking whom? Direct object, therefore in the accusative. Whom are you seeking? You are seeking whom? Questions on that one. And then five, what shall I do? Ti poeso. What? It's a neuter, because you're asking the question what instead of who. Ti poeso. What shall I do? From poeo, future. And then six, you know who the man is. Dinoskete tis estin ho anea. You know who is the man, who the man is. See. Tis. Interrogative pronoun. Any questions on those six uses of interrogative pronoun? Case is used depending on how it's used in the context. I look at 283. The neuter accusative T is frequently used adverbially in the sense of why. Remember I said why one time here, or translating this, or looking at another way, why? This can also mean why. And T can mean why. So adverbially, what? In other words, because of what? Or therefore why? Why do you call me good? Ti me leges agathon. Why me you call good? So ti, why? So that is what, but it could be what. All right, any questions on 283? On 284, in indirect discourse, or indirect question rather, the same mood, I call it, instead of mode, mood and tense is generally found as in the direct. Same mood and tense, and the same interrogative words. What is indirect question, by the way? We better define that before we get into that.
It's not really a question, it's more of a statement, but it's got a question form to it.
Does it have a question form, though?
Well, what I'm thinking of is, it's a good example like the one they have here. He saw where you are staying.
All right.
It's not really a question, but it's got a question form, like where are you staying, or where...
All right, an indirect question differs from a direct question in what way? What would the direct question form of it be?
Where are you staying?
That's right. Where are you staying? With a capital letter in the W and a question mark at the end.
It's like a quote.
That's right.
Or did he see where you were staying?
Did he see where you were? That's right. So, where you're staying is an indirect question because in the original, where were you staying was the one that was used. See? That's why it's called indirect. And this all is called indirect discourse. Indirect discourse. We have it in English and in Greek and all the other languages. So what they're saying, they're indirect questions, the same mode and tense generally found in the direct and the same interrogative words. For instance, you saw where you were staying, ade pu menite, where you are dwelling or staying. He knew what is in man, gnoske ti estin en anthropo. He knew what, that's ti estin, what is in man. So the question was, what is in man? See, so he knew what is in man. These are indirect questions, although they don't sound like questions when they're in those sentences, do they? Any questions on the indirect question? All right, that's 284. Let's go to 285. Study carefully the following examples of the usually indefinite pronoun. One said to him, or a certain man. Even he said a certain man. It could be a certain one, or one, someone said to him. It's apentis auto. Apentis auto. So you notice the enclitic use of tis. Certain one said to him. or he said to him. Any questions on that? All right, on is number two. Some or certain ones of them said. Here's plural. Tenes de ex auton apon. Certain ones from them, of them. Of them it's de ex, from ex, said. Any questions on two? All right, then number three. He went into a certain village, Ace Alphen, Ace Chomain, Tena. That's in the accusative because he went into where? He went to a certain village. Ace, after Ace, you have the accusative. So that's why you have that. All right, a certain village, the Tena. A particular village, yes. And the fourth example, a certain man had two sons, Anthropos tis echen duhuius, rather. So a certain one had two sons, that would be in the denominative also, tis. A certain one had two sons. Any questions on that?
So it doesn't, the word tis or any of those forms don't really have a specific word that they translate to. Transliterate to?
Well, just a certain.
Be a one or
yeah, one.
That thing or this thing or something.
Yeah. I know the King James usually translates it a certain one, you know. It's an indefinite type of a thing. How do you normally say it?
Well,
one?
What's
an
indefinite in English? Would be
well, whosoever will may come. See, it's an indefinite pronoun. Whoever, see, certain. From anybody. Indefinite pronoun in English would be, I guess, whoever, or who, or certain one. I'm not sure what they have
anyone,
the same.
Like
anyone, yeah, like
anyone. Or?
I think so. Anyone who does something. I think that's an indefinite type of a pronoun. Like this tis, and t.
So you could say anyone said to him.
That's right. Any other questions on that? All right, let's go then to the next lesson. Don't forget our exercises. We'll take those exercises to paragraph 286. So we have those. And let's go to lesson 35 for vocabulary. Again, we're working on third declension. That stands in L. Notice the parenthesis F. That digamma, as they call it, used to be in the Greek language. That F looks like an F. It's pronounced F and A. That's your digamma, and it was formerly one of the Greek letters. They dropped it out many years back. I don't know whether Scrivener has got the date when the digamma disappeared or not in this book. I know that the Rosetta Stone did not have it, I guess. No, and the Aleph manuscript of the 4th century, I guess that didn't have a digamma. So apparently, maybe it was added a different time after, or maybe before that. Digamma is not in any of these. I wonder if he discusses the digamma. Zeta, eta, theta. There it is. See there, the F after the. There it is, see it?
Isn't it an F one?
Well, maybe it is. Alphabet, gamma, delta, that's all you're right. It looks a little bit like I was trying to sneak in the F.
I wonder if he's got it.
Here's an F. Here it is. Here's an F. Is that it? Or am I mistaken again here?
No, that one might be it.
That's it right there. See the F?
Delta.
See that F there? It looks almost like our F. See, that would be a digamma. Now, that would be number 8, sample number 8. See if I can, facsimile number 8. If I can date that, see where that is in the Rosetta Stone. See? Plate number 8. Number 10. See, plate 3. 8. Okay, let's get back here. 3, 7. Rosetta Stone. See, 3. I don't see readily where that. It's got them all scattered around here. The date of that. In any event, the seventh one on the list is 995 A.D. So this number 8 is the next after that. So it would be 1000 A.D. or something with a diagram.
B.C.?
A.D. A.D. So these are all A.D. So.
Oh, so that came later, huh?
Yeah, apparently came later. But I don't even know whether he takes up the digamma, but he throws that in there. Does he have the digamma in his index, Davis? I look up in a digamma, I don't think I'd find it. It's no little known facts about the pilgrims. And that's what we call one time, anytime, these little known facts. One of our modernistic preachers in the chaplain corps, he...
Yeah, they got the digamma.
They do? Where?
Page 118, or that must be paragraph 118, footnote.
You got that digamma?
No, it must be page. Yeah, it's page 118, the very next page.
Where do you have the digamma? Let's see it in your index.
Oh, maybe yours doesn't have it. It's got digamma right in there.
Let's see.
Okay.
I see this now. Oh, digamma right there. Boy, I certainly don't have it. See, it's revised. Mine does not have it. Oh, that's English Greek vocabulary. All right, I'm all right. You have the index. Yeah, all right. Yeah, it's digamma. 118 footnote. All right, digamma, the vowel, also called digamma, an old letter standing in the alphabet after epsilon and pronounced like a W. Its presence is a semi-vowel, is often shown by epsilon. Interesting.
So that's older than the New Testament.
I mean more recent than the New Testament.
So huh? Here it's an old letter. Huh?
Well, but how old? That's true, but, well, it's after the, well... But apparently they didn't have it in that alphabet. I don't understand why they didn't do that. Let me look under his index. I'll step into his index and hope I don't get the English words or subjects, if he has any mention. Scrivener of digamma. Dialect. No, let's see. He'd have letters, you know, but that's what we got over there. Well, let's see now. He goes through the letters, alpha, beta, gamma, delta, and he makes comments on them. See, maybe he would come up in under digamma. Beta, delta, epsilon, zeta, eta, theta. You know, see, he just completely bypasses it because it's not a standard thing at this time, see, at this time of the Greek New Testament. It's dropped out of the picture. See, I think that's what it is. It is, mm-hmm. It is no longer there. And I don't remember how he handles that. Right? I'm sure he would touch on it because he goes into the history of the letters and when everything happens, but I don't remember in the context where he would talk about that. See? He goes... into the history, though, of the formation. I'm sure it's there, but I don't want to stop longer to find it. All right, where were we?
I think we're about to start the next vocabulary. Yeah,
right.
So we're on page
117.
Okay, I'd already turned to 118. All right, so we go on then to 117, the vocabulary. Let's go on to the chief priest as well.
Archaeus.
All right, Archaeus. Archaeus. If you want to say Eos, Archaeus. And Archaeus. So there you got to say Eos and Eos. Archaeus, Archaeus. Eos and Eos. The word's the Arch. Archaeus. She means leading first. Hieron is the temple, so Hieros is the priest. I don't know, Archie. I know the hierarchos, reverse hierarchy, you see, but archaeos is the opposite of that. Hierarchy is hierarchy.
It may be where like archbishop comes from.
Only archaeos, the archpriest, archbishop. All right, the king is what?
Basileus.
All basileus, leus, and two basileos. Basileus, I'm sorry, then this, of course, we have king roots going on in English, and Basileus, trying to think of it. Maybe we don't.
Basilica?
Basilica. That'd probably be it. The place of the king of the church, huh? Basilica. The scribe is what? The scribe.
Grammateus.
Grammateus. And two grammateus. Grammateus, grammateus. Grammar, of course, grammatical. Anything to describe one who writes, so that's your memory right there. The priest.
Hieros.
Hieros, two hieros. Hieros, of course, archi-hieros, the chief priest, high priest. The race as well.
Genos.
Or genos, there's a neuter. And two genus. Two genus, rather. Genos and genus.
Is that the word for generation?
Yes, that or genea. Genea, a different form of that. Genos could be the race or species. Genea would be the generation. And some prefer to take the meaning of this racial stock. See, this nation, in the sense of the stock, like Israel, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Not necessarily this 20-year, 30-year period, but this genea, this racial stock, the people of Israel. It shall not be.
I'll get you off the track if every time. What do you think that word is? Maybe we could look that up.
Genea, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, that's from genemai and geneo. And
no, I mean, no, no. I'm sorry, when you said this generation shall not pass away.
Mm-hmm. What word that is in Greek?
Yeah.
That's genea.
Oh, it is genea. Yeah. Oh, okay.
That's the genea.
So it is a form of this.
That's right, genemai. I think we have to look under gen for the roots. See, let me look. Yeah, genemai. Under that, you have all these sorted things in your analytical Greek lexicon. You have genea, hey genea. See, now that's a birth or generation of mankind, a generation, an interval of time and age, a course of life, so on. This particular lexicon doesn't give this other racial stock and so on, but it's in your Schofield note that that's a possible interpretation. I think that's a proper meaning for it also Greek-wise. If you look at a larger lexicon, Genesia is here. It's the birthday festival of Genesis, Genete, and Genema, and Genao, of course, to beget, to generate. You see, women to bring forth. The same word, Genao, means of women, one thing, of men, another. And Genema, and Genesis, with a double noon, and Genetos, the double noon, and Genos, which is a progeny, family, kindred, lineage, race, nation, people. See, Genos. I'll check and see on that. I think it's Genea instead of Genos, but this is specifically that. What they're doing is equating Genea with Genos. Illegitimate Genesios, or rather lawful, legitimate, genuine children, and Genesios. Goneus. Hog Goneus is the father, or plural is parents. See, so those that have got. So let's take a look at the this generation shall not pass until all be fulfilled. That would be Matthew 24:5 would be the Olivet discourse. And let's see if we can find the spot, and then we'll look at the Greek up there. This generation. Well, we may have to look up the lexicon again there to get specific. Shall not pass, shall all be fulfilled. Doesn't stick out quickly. It wasn't the days of Noah. Nations rise up against nation. Isn't that the context? They shall endure the end to be saved. Again, ethics. And ethos would be customs, practices, morals, eventually. But ethics is the word that is the memory in here. The pity or the mercy is what?
Elos.
Elos. All right. Elos and two Elos. Mercy and pity. If you know Eleomycenary, you know this, but that's a big one.
That you means, know that one, Larry?
Petty, Elio in English, but you see, that's a big word, but that's where it comes from. The year is what?
Ta etos,
and two etus. Etos, I don't know about English words on that. I'm sure there must be. The member is what? Meaning the member of your body.
Ta
Melos, two melus, a member. Each have many members in the body. The part is what?
Tomeros.
Two merus. All right, the crowd, the multitude. Meros, you have that in an English equivalent, I'm sure, in many places. I'm just trying to think of Meros. Meros. Huh. Can't think of any offhand. All right, the crowd, the multitude.
Plethos.
All right, and two plethus. Plethora is a good English word for many. There's a plethora of translations. There's many translations. Plethos. And it's related to plen, you know, plenitude and plenary and so on. There's plate. The darkness is what?
Toskotos,
the darkness, two skotus. And I'm not sure what they have there, English-wise. Then the end is what?
Totelos,
two telos. This is the end. Like you'd have teleology, telescope, that they offer the end, scope out, which will see it, examine it at an end, a great distance, or the final end of something. What is your purpose?
Hint for plath. Is that word plathos? Does that come from pala?
Pala, you mean?
Yeah,
pala. Many? Yeah, I think so, maybe. Pala.
That might be the way I remember that.
That's good. Plathos, crowd, many. Pala, palu, palu, many. Poly colored. Any questions on the vocabulary there? All right, most of those you notice are neuters. A few masculines, most primitives. All right, the declension of Ha Basileus, the king. Singular, first. Basileus, Basileos, Basileos, Basile, 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 Basilea, Basileu, Basileu. That's one of the vocative. All right, plural. Basileis, Basileon, Basileon, Basileusai, LSE rather, Basileusi, Basileusi, Basileis. Any questions on that? Basileusi?
We're getting ahead of our lesson.
Oh, we are?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is for next time. You're right. Okay, we'll stop right there because we had voted and agreed to cut off this for the other. All right?
Baptist being democratic and all.
Yeah.
Yes. But remind me to start right here and for next time. So we have. All right, any questions on what we have for next time? All right, tonight we had one or two exercises?
Two.
Okay, let's open up to the first one then. And change your papers. Put your name on it so you know who's creating it, graded by at the bottom. By the way, man, I finally have completed the customer report, the end. I got it made up. I haven't printed it, but I mean, copy form. We have it available. Going to announce it in the next thing. 182 pages altogether, 200 actually altogether with a table of contents. And, remember, it was part one before, now it's both parts. All right, the answer to Custer's King James Version controversy.
Custer's last stand.
You heard.
By the way, I got that cassette tape, too, the video of the debate. Remember the debate, the debate on the text with Custer, the four of us, in October? I finally wrote to the man and asked him. The trouble is he put it in beta, and a friend of mine, Mr. Harold Beisel, that usually lets me listen to these video cassette recordings, so I don't have a set myself. His is in VHS. So the problem was how to translate that from beta to VHS so I can look at it. I don't know anybody that's got a beta machine. So I finally got someone to price it for me out there in California, out in Pennsylvania, and it was inconvenient, so I called Don Crist in Collinswood. And you know, that man would charge $49 plus the materials, and he was ready to charge me $102 for that thing. Now, I paid about $22 or $25 originally on the beta. I asked that man, don't you have any in the VHF? And I used it, oh, that's all he's got in that one form. Well, that's a crazy thing. It's as good as nothing. So I told Don Chris that I could get it for $25 over in Pennsylvania. He said, well, I'll meet that since you're a church group. We'll meet that price, $25. So I went in there to pay for it, and the girl had to bill me up for $102. I said, well, he said he'd charge me 25. Can you imagine that? The markup of 25 to 102? That's a real, but I mean, that's commercial things. Everybody, they don't bat an eyelash at these
You
places.
Get what you can, you don't.
That's right. Well, that's
fair market value.
Let me just give an example here. A&B TV service. I finally took my black and white set that was problematical to him because Bell TV over in Cherry Hill couldn't fix that penny set, an old pen press that needed a little bit of action. We don't have it, but they would fix my the little colored set that we had in here that was giving a little trouble with the switch. But they wanted me to sign an agreement that they would fix it up to $100 without any other things. If I wanted an estimate, that cost me $26 the estimate. You got to pay the estimate up front. As you give it, so that's myself. Well, I left it there like a fool. I've done that before. But when they wouldn't take my black and white, I had to search out another person for the black and white, and I found this fellow, the Yellow Pages. He said, I'll give you a free estimate of the black and white. He could fix my black and white. The black and white just has a little tube, $24 for the certain gear or something, but that's ready tomorrow. This guy, the other people, will be in next week sometime. So I called up the people and I said, have you worked on my set? They said, no. I said, well, can I take it back without charge? They said, oh, yeah, go ahead. So I picked it up and got it off their hands. I'm going to take it this fellow. So I have both of them, both my eggs in one basket. See, I think he'll do me right by the thing. Price, I don't think he'd be any higher than the other. The other's minimum is $54.95 or $55 just to put a little switch on the color TV because it's color instead of like one. But anyhow, you got to shop around sometimes. But we'll take these exercises. But did I mention last time, man, on the debacle of one of our JRB schools, the LABC, that breach? I mentioned that to you, or not? Los Angeles
Baptist College. The ones that are going to call.
Close and call MacArthur. I guess I mentioned that to you last time. I've gotten new information on it, more detail, which is interesting, from two of the teachers and professors. Apparently, 85% of the faculty goes to JRB churches only. It used to be 100%. It used to be a requirement. But even if MacArthur doesn't accept, and by the way, the deadline for his acceptance is next Wednesday. It'll be by 2 weeks from whatever it was in February, which would be next Tuesday, next Wednesday, the 6th, the 5th, or whatever the date is. But even if he doesn't accept, and it's not just the presidency, but he's going to give him the whole seminary. I guess I told you that. He's going to give him the whole college, rather. If he doesn't accept, they're still going to sever all ties from the JRB. And some of the churches have stopped supporting him anyhow, and they heard they're going to. With MacArthur. But this is Dr. Duncan, the president, is going to be the chancellor. So you see, these fellows who resigned or who gave it to him want to still be in there running things. He said, this is from a missionary that's out there that teaches at LABC, who interviewed two teachers. This is the source of what I'm saying. But if you don't agree with him, you can get out. But if you agree with him, you can stay as trustee. That's what MacArthur said, if he takes presidency. And Duncan, who's been president for all these years, and the thing has gone nowhere to speak of, 300 students or less, actually, after 25, 30 years. It's a small college. And he will be chancellor, apparently. You know, he'll stay on, and which is a strange, strange situation. It certainly... it's not a separate school, not a JRB regular Baptist school, and it's a harbinger of what's going to happen in the JRB, the whole movement in that direction, giving it over to something, somebody else. But one of the reasons why they're trying to bail out is they've got a huge debt, according to Pastor Mike McCubbins, who's a missionary pastor out there. He's my source on the thing, called him up. $20 million, roughly, is what the debt is. Can you imagine $20 million?
No.
Now, the buildings, apparently, and all the physical plant is probably worth more. My pastor, Pastor Payton, couldn't understand why they didn't sell it to somebody, give the profits and the money to some of our other schools or something else.
Couldn't be.
They want to continue it out.
It must be a humongous school if it's worth more than that.
It's a little, well, buildings, you know how property is. You've got a whole bunch of buildings you accumulate in 25, 30 years, you get a lot of $20 million. I don't know.
No way.
You don't think so? With dormitories, not even dormitories and the whole thing?
No way. What?
$20 million?
Who would want it?
Well, I don't know. That's the point, see.
Who would want to pay
that's why they're trying to get out from under it with
sure that's why they're not selling it. They don't use that much.
MacArthur just assume and take that over and then mushroom it. He'll have it in the thousands in no time. If he's, you know, that's his personality. He won't take any position on Billy Graham or new evangelicalism or drinking or divorce and remarriage, which he's down on that and on and a lot of other things, you know. But it'll be nice
Christian
college to teach the Bible and to sort of, you know, be everything to everyone. And everybody going your way, Campus Crusade, and everything's all right, see. They just stick to the Bible, teach the Bible, without teaching these parts of the Bible that tell us about separation. And when he does, he'll castigate the separatists who are following the Bible in those areas. And he will praise the non-separatists who are loving everybody. See? So, well, that's interesting. So, let's go to the exercises. We'll try to get it this time. And it's starting with paragraph, what?
266.
Page 109, is that right?
Yeah.
All right, let's read a couple of Greek sentences, and then we'll see how we go time-wise.
So, logos, sarx, agenitas.
All right, logos, sarx, agenitas, which says what?
The word became flesh.
Word became flesh, flesh became. All right, that's good. Agenitas. Any questions on that? All right, number two, let's read the Greek on that.
Edite
tas
heras.
Herasmu, because that's an English. Herasmu.
Kai.
Podas.
Podas. No,
podasmu. Yeah, podasmu.
Podasmu.
Podasmu, yeah, I guess we actually just want podasmu.
Podi. Ego.
Ego.
Amy.
Autos. Now, what does that say?
Behold.
Behold. And it's a look. See?
The grace.
No, this is
the
hands.
The
hands of me, my hands,
and
my feet.
That
I
am
he. That I am he.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any questions on that? All right, number three. Let's read the Greek on that.
Estion.
Ek.
Tutu.
Two, two, two. Oh, yes. Yes. Two, two, two. All right.
Two.
But that's not an enclitic, so we're all
three. Two, two. R two.
R two. All right.
Zay.
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 Ace.
Tom.
Iona. All right. What do we have there?
S-D-O-N.
To eat.
The one eating.
The one eating.
From
this
R2
is the loaf of bread.
Mm-hmm. This the bread, I guess.
Yeah, this bread
lives.
Will live.
Will live. Say so from himself.
Will
live in the future.
Into the age.
Into the age or to eternity or forever. It's actually forever. It's a Greek way of saying it. The question
is
on
that
three.
Pretty much the way it's said.
Yes, that's what they said. The life eternal. John 3:16, life everlasting, all these things are Iona.
It almost seems to refer to the kingdom age, possibly.
Yes.
Into the age, live into the age.
Yes, the age, sometimes the age of the ages. But that's the way they phrase it. See, the golden age, and therefore they put that into the final eternal state, say the Greek mind. To that age when everything is, well, they have an idea and concept of eternity or heaven or bliss or something. And so that, for them, is eternity, see. And so that's the best they can do. And Chronos and Ionios, age and ages. But sometimes it means just literally this age or that age, you know. Lord, I'm with you. Always, even to the end of the world, it's Ionion, see, the end of the ages, see, which means at the end of the, sometimes it refers to the physical world, when that will end, even till that ends, I'll still be with you, or sometimes eternity. But mostly eternity, into the age. The age, of course, the age meaning the eternal age, that's usually the context. Any questions further in three? I number four, let's read that.
Chu
Achlu.
Apelphontos.
Apelphontos.
Chadulos.
Chadulos.
Erchetai.
Ace.
Ton.
Oipon.
To
Poimenos. Poimenos. How does that say?
The crowd having gone away.
All right, here's your genitive absolute. See, the crowd having run away, or when the crowd went away.
The servant.
Or the servant.
Went.
Comes.
Or comes.
Yeah.
Comes
or your goals.
Okay.
Comes and goes
to the
house of the shepherd. All right, any questions on that? Here's a beautiful genitive absolute, tu, achlu, and pontos. It's the genitive of the noun and the genitive of the participle. All right, number five.
Hoi,
poimenes,
edon,
tus,
apostolus,
kerustantas,
ton,
sotera. That's not a noon now, that's an eda. Right? So Taylor. And it's not Absalom. Alright. What does that say?
The shepherds.
Alright, the shepherds.
Said.
Saw.
Saw.
Is the Adon from it. Absalom I Adon.
The apostles.
Saw the apostles.
Preaching the Savior.
Preaching the Savior. Alright, heralding the Savior. Preaching the Savior. Any questions on five? All right, let's go to English to Greek then. Truth abides forever. Truth is
aletheia.
Aletheia, hey aletheia. So it would be the truth, hey aletheia, the truth abides. Bar provides meno. So,
mene.
All right.
Aston,
Iona. All right, Aston, Iona. Any questions on that? All right, number two. You got it?
Mm-hmm.
Behold his hands and feet. Gold, of course, is the same as we had up here, idet.
Idet.
Idet. If you're speaking to more than large, it's idet, if it's just one. See, thou behold, idet. But ye behold, all of you, idet. Either one. It means see, look at. Go ahead, behold. Idet. His hands, we got up there. Tas keras. Autu. Kai podas autu, right? See it up in the second sentence of it.
How to?
Mm-hmm. His hands, if you want to say.
How shouldn't be how to? Is.
Yes, it would be the hands of him out tone. Out tone, yes, you're right.
Him now you couldn't have out
tone. Well, now wait a minute. Wait a minute. It's not the hands of more than three of him. See, it's the hands, but it's of him. Just like. You wouldn't have the plural of my hands, the hands of me. You wouldn't have the hands of many of me. See what I mean?
It's not the hands of them. You.
That's right.
It's the hands
of us.
Him.
It's the hand of him. So.
When I move.
So his.
Two.
I think so. Would it not? The hands of him. See, it's the hands of him. It's his hands. See, it's not.
See,
their hands. Otherwise, our tone would be their hands. Right? More than.
There's
one.
No way in Greek to try to match. Like he did the pronoun to the
antecedent,
like out to.
No, not that particular one. Yeah, you have to keep that singular, out to. See. Any questions further than that? No, I have behold his hands and feet. All right, number three, I write these things with my hand.
Grapho.
Grapho, these things would be.
Tauta.
Grapho tauta, with my hand.
Meta,
if you wish. Taking the. Fugitive, would it? Yes, genitive. Meta with a genitive, according to Manny's chart. Meta.
Zahira.
Yes, Hera, my hand, the genitive Hera. Heras, wouldn't it be? Let's see. Heras.
Should be Hera, Heramu. Isn't it Hera? Because it's singular, right?
Yeah. But you see, if you have to put it in the genitive, be keras.
Why do you have to put it in genitive?
Well, after meta. Manny's rule there. Meta with, if you have meta
so.
With,
okay.
See. See, with the genitive, see, keras. Right? Kedar, rather, Kedar, with the hand moves. Kedar move. His hand, did we take hand there? Kedar? Or is that, we didn't define that, did we?
No.
Anywhere?
No.
Okay.
So that's Tain Heras?
Well, Vimeta Tu Heras. Would not?
Isn't it feminine? It should be Tais.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Tais.
It's hard to keep
Meta Tais.
Sure is.
Well, in that case, it'd be Tais.
No,
wait a minute. Taste. Yeah, with my hand, singular, yeah. Move. All right, we got the move, all right. Any question on that?
Wait a minute, I don't think that's right either. It should be take.
Metta.
Doesn't it take? What does it take?
Well, according to this, see, you got.
Takes genitive?
Genitive, see, metta. Okay. It sometimes takes the accusative, it means after, but metta with a genitive, see. So metta.
I left my taste thing at home. I might have got that one.
Meta tais chaira. Chaira. All right, question number three. All right, four. The Savior having departed, the crowd said this. Here's a genitive absolute. That's what you need.
I don't know if I did it though.
All right, the Savior. Be tais soteras. Soteras. Right?
It would be not taste, it would be two.
Oh, excuse me, two, yes. It actually, it's two soteras. Soteras. Yeah, being the masculine. Two soteras. Having departed, the word for depart, aperkomai, if you want. You can use, use
aperkomtos.
Elphon. Go on. Elphontos. Elphon.
Elphontos.
Elphontos in the genitive. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, two soteras, elephantos, or aperphantos, if you wish. Then the crowd said this. Aklos said.
Well, it depends if you.
Apon, you want to say?
They said.
They said. Why you have singular? Ape, huh?
Ape,
if you wish.
He said yes, tau.
Teuton.
Or
Teuton, right? They said that's Teuton. Accusative. Any questions on that? Genitive absolute and the Savior having departed, and then the crowd said that. All right, then, number five, you have a question on four. While he was going away, he saw an angel.
Well, you could probably do that this evening.
Probably a genitive absolute, yes.
Yeah. I didn't do that in either case, did I?
No.
Genitive absolute. Mm-hmm. All right, while he was going away, so he and the genitive be out too. Go ahead, Larry.
I have a question on the verb in number four.
Aperkomai?
No, not that. The participle.
Elphon?
It should be.
Elphontos?
Wouldn't that be.
Genitive, you mean? Genitive singular? Elphontos?
No, case. Wouldn't that
genitive,
be,
yeah.
Not case. Case.
No, number?
No. Tense. Wouldn't that be
the tense of the participle, which doesn't have tense? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but go ahead.
I don't know. I'm trying to think. Wait a minute. Aorist. Wouldn't that be aorist
participle? Yes, that is aorist. Yeah.
And that's what it should be, is aorist.
Yes, elephantos. That's what you got.
Elephantos is aorist.
Yes, elephantos be aorist.
Okay.
From elephant. Any questions further on four? All right, while he was going away, he would be out too. Going away, what do you want to do for going away? Aperkomai.
Mm-hmm.
All right, aperkomenos, then aperkomenos. He going away, then he saw an angel. For to see is opsomai, and then the heiress would be adon.
It can't be aperkontos.
No?
Because it has to be.
That's genitive. Regular singular, right? So aperkomai is a deponent verb. So you got the erkomai, erkontos. Aperkomai is a deponent, see? Right?
Yeah, so I should have put erkomenos.
Oh.
Now, wait a minute.
Erchomenos. I said Erchontos. Erchomenos, yeah.
I said Aperchontos.
Yeah,
that's what he's got. So that's not right, then.
Right.
Erchomenos. Erchomenos, yeah.
All
right. He said Aperchontos, huh? Like Elchontos. No, it'd be Aperchomenos, yeah. All right. He saw an angel. From
Adon.
So this would be Ade. He saw. Direct accusative. Angelos, Angelos,
Angelon.
Beton Angelon. Saw an angel. Got a question? Well, or just Angelon, if you want to say an angel, but sometimes the Greek says the angel, even though we translated an angel. So yes. Probably the article's good.
Is that blepe? Should be
if you want to say blepe instead of horao.
Shouldn't it be a blepe, though?
Eblepe. If you want to say the imperfect, see? Eblepe. Mm-hmm.
Hmm?
Right?
We get eblepe.
Eblepe, yeah.
Sort of mixed them.
What? He mixed the present with the imperfect.
He
the imperfect
the
ends in eblepe.
The imperfect ending.
As in eblepe, see?
Mm-hmm.
Present is eblepe lue, but eluet. It ends in that, the third person singular for the perfect and imperfect, rather, and the aorist. All right, let's go to next exercise. Any questions further on that? All right, we go to the next exercise, which is on page 112 at the bottom. We've fix those up in 15 minutes. Now, if we can do the same for this, we'll close on time. 15 minutes for this, actually. Want to read the Greek first?
Hey,
estin,
logos,
logos,
hon, akuete.
Akuete. All right. What does that say?
The commandment.
The commandment.
Is the word.
Is the word.
That
you hear.
That
ye hear.
Which ye hear. Okay. This commandment is the word which ye hear. Questions on one. All right, number two. Let's read the Greek first. Andra.
Andra.
Sinosko. By the way, we have a man getting this analytical Greek lexicon for his daughter who's taking Greek at perhaps final college. First year Greek, and he wondered, you know, what books would you recommend to get her on that? And I suggested this as a, you know, helpful for her to get all the forms. She's just in first year Greek. She's getting all A's. She's really a smart kid. In fact, all A's in all subjects, in addition to the Greek.
Is that a good
girl.
School?
That's Bible college? Well, it's, I guess it's all right as far as schools go. It prepares for the ministry and so on. They take a softer stand than some separatists, but they're much stronger than a lot of our schools, the regular Baptist group. You know, the standards
KRB
crew, yeah. The standards are not uniformly endorsed or enforced, I should say. My son Dick went there for 1 year before he went to Bob Jones. And he said that, you know, kids can get away with the regulation, no rock music or radios not on after hours or lights off, but they don't enforce it. And so he didn't like that at all. I thought it was hypocritical. They have all these rules and then they don't enforce it.
Where is this?
So at Baptist Bible Seminary, Baptist Bible College, rather, Clark Summit, Pennsylvania. So he went to Bob Jones. They had not only the rules, but they enforced the rule. They had certain rules to live by and they made them do it, see. It wasn't just a. It was not as strong. But they had better Bible there. Dick should say they had much better Bible at Baptist Bible College. The Bible teachers really knew the Word of God than at Bob Jones. Bob Jones was very skimpy on the real Bible teachings.
Boy, you can't win. I'm thinking about, you know, 5 years down the line when my son's old enough to go to college.
Yeah, well.
It's hard.
Yes, it is. Well, you know, I don't think there's anything out of the ordinary with Baptist Bible College, but especially if you're going into the ministry, see. But if you're not going into ministry, you know, you don't know what you got when you finish, see. Because it's basically for ministers and missionaries. That's their goal, see. That's their emphasis. It's a Bible college. It's not a liberal arts school with a lot of different other things to take business and this and that. That's not the purpose of that school. So if you're not sure your son is going to be a preacher or minister, you know, he go in there and then he turns into business. What has he got when he finishes? He doesn't have anything to equip him for life. You follow me? As far as business, that's what he's, if the Lord doesn't call him into ministry. So that's the question for Bob Jones. You do have all these other branches. You can, you know, take a whole lot of things. I'm just thinking of that in terms of. Okay. So that's the first one. Number two. Let's read that Greek sentence, number two.
I know not man.
I do not know a man, or the man, or a man. That's right. I do not know the man.
Is that what Mary said?
I do not know a man. That's probably so. I do not know physically, carnally, with sexual relation to a male.
But that's not what Peter said.
Well, I do not know that. It could be. I do not know the man. It could be. See, without pausing to see exactly which it is, it's either one is correct. Either one is correct. I do not know the man. I don't know a man. All right. Third one. Let's read that brief.
Elegon.
Auto. Who. Estin. Hall. Pater. How does that say?
I said,
or they said.
Therefore.
To him. It's probably therefore they said, probably. Who Estin. Or Pater.
Where is he? But you're the father of you.
Where is your father? All right, any questions on three?
You're saying it should be they said?
Well, it's either I said or they said. Probably the context, if it's in the scripture, it's probably the Pharisees said. You can say I said. It's literally either I said or they said. Context probably would be they said. Right? Number four. Let's read that for
you. Emera
and
to
onomatimu, alright.
I taste
kai
u
lego humane
hati
ego erotation
ton
patera
peri
humon. Alright, what does that say? Kene te himera.
In that day, in the name of me.
The name of me, in my name. I tell us to ask. I taste this that here is the
you will
ask.
And I will.
I do not say.
I do not say.
I do not say.
You mean to you or to thee or to the. To you. That's right. Accusative in English, or King James life for you.
I will ask
the Father concerning you.
All right, that's good. Any questions on
say
four?
That again? Can you get
yes. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father for you.
What is this word?
Un is therefore.
Mm-hmm.
Or therefore then. Yes, an inferential, logical part. Mm-hmm. All right, number five. Let's read that. Let me read that just to space it out. Ha akuete ap arkes genoskete. What's that? Ha akuete ap arkes. Neuter. That which. See, there's your neuter relative pronoun. Ha. That which. Akuete.
You,
that which you hear.
Ye hear, plural, you hear.
From
our case.
The beginning.
You know, plural, know.
You
know. All right, the question down five. All right, six. Karatide to Theu, Amy, Ha, Amy. What's that? Paul said this. Karatide. By the grace.
By the grace of God.
Amy, ha, Amy.
I am what I am.
I am that which I am. So here's your relative pronoun, the neuter.
I didn't translate that.
No, you got to do this by the grace of God that I am.
You must stop what I am. All right, seven. Hutos estin hyper hu apon. What is that one?
Hutos.
Which is this?
This is.
Hyper. Concerning which
I spoke,
yeah. This is he. In other words, this is this one. This is the one concerning which, of whom I spoke. And question number seven. All right, number two, the English to Greek. By the way, the same family, the father wants the girl to be well-trained on the Word of God and the translation and so on. So anything that I could suggest to her. So I suggested The Future of the Bible by Von Bergen. where the NIV has just taken away all the translations and all this, and also the tape that I made on the curse of the dynamic equivalency. And the whole family listened to the tape on Sunday. See, I gave it to them Sunday, I listened to it, and said, we certainly agree there's a real problem. And they're giving this little tract, I guess I told you that, to their class, did it last time, a little tract for the by the word that AVWE has gotten out, which is stressing the Bangladesh way of translating, which is the idiomatic translation of the New Evangelical, the NIV dynamic equivalency, see. Mm-hmm. And that was passed out in her translation, in her class up there at BBC, Baptist Bible. So they're pushing that. So he wants to defend against that because this father is strong on the text of Receptus and a lot of the things that he's been to several of my meetings on those different things. I think it's very encouraging.
You weren't in on that, were you, when we were talking quite a bit about that? Was that in Hebrew?
Well, maybe it was in Hebrew class. Yes, it was. That was a whole dynamic.
He went through a portion of, what was the name of the book on dynamic equivalency?
That was called Translating the Word of God.
The way they translate the New International Version, they use a dynamic equivalence, which is they take phrases, sometimes clauses, and sometimes even sentences, decide in their mind what it means, and then... So basically it's interpretation.
Very, very bad. Especially with this extrinsic, intrinsic. But what's the other words for it? Not extrinsic, intrinsic, but the stated, not explicit and implicit.
Yeah.
Things are explicit and implicit. So anyhow, I'm getting into that in my news report. I'm just beginning now in the editorial and getting into that dynamic equivalency. Boy, I'm enjoying getting into it. I'm getting into the spirit of it. Okay, the hope which we have is eternal. Very quickly, the hope is Elpis, or the Elpis which we have be feminine, hey, wouldn't it? Because the hope which, hey, feminine, we have, echomen, is,
estin,
eternal, ionios, is ionios. I guess you'd say, eternal. If you had eternal, ion is the age. Ionios, I believe, would be the word for eternal.
He has to modify hope, right?
Yes.
Ion would just be ion.
Aston ion, would that be it? Unto the age? I guess that's what it's saying. Unto the age, just like you had the other one. Aston ion.
Ion.
I guess that would be Aston ion, the fusion.
Would it be accusative?
Well, after ace, maybe.
Into the age, yeah.
Under the ace.
Oh, ace. Okay, yeah.
Ace with the accusative, yeah. Into under the age. Okay. All right, number two. This is my father and my mother. Hutos. This?
Yeah, hutos.
Estin.
Patera. Should just be pater, nominative, right?
Oh, you're right. Pater, you're right.
Pater,
mu. Kai.
Kai.
He.
Meter.
Meter, mu. Meter, right. Any question on two? This is my father and my mother. We believe in him who died for us. We believe in him. From Pistewo. Pistewo man. We believe in him. And auto, who is the masculine?
Hos.
Hos. But we believe in him who died. So it'd be
right?
Han. See,
see that confuses me because it really modifies the him. So it's
all right. Remember, by attraction, you can make it Hos. You can make a noun. If Hos died, epethane for us.
Would it be proper to make it either?
Either accused or not remembered.
To alto. Could you attract it to alto and make it?
If you want. And alto, you mean? You
can
Oh, yes. That's what you should say. I shouldn't have said Han. I was thinking
accused. Well, they use Han over here, though.
Well, but see, after believe in him, after the N, you say, but you believe in him, you have to use the locative instrumental dative. Dative, case, see. But normally it would be auton in some instances, but here it would be alto. So it would be ho. Or it could be hus. By attraction into the next clause. Hos epethane, who died for us, huper humon, or anti humon, if you wish. Hemon, excuse me. Dia himas, on account of us. Oh, that's okay. Here we are. On account of us, because of us. All right, normal, that's not substitution, but that's okay. That's cause. We believe in him at Ivers. Four, he shall ask the Father concerning us. He shall ask.
Altraus.
Well, you don't need that Altraus. You can have it, but just try it regular. He shall ask from Erotao.
Concerning.
Concerning.
Peri.
Us.
Human.
Human. Okay. Peri. The genitive. Peri. Human. See? Human. The genitive is about us. Concerning us.
Takes genitive.
Yeah, the accusative or genitive.
It's hamos.
No, hamos is accusative, but it'd be hamon with genitive. Say peri hamon.
Okay.
I don't think I think I used dia again, didn't I?
No, you used huper.
Well, if you want to accuse of that, sorry, about us, around us.
No, I used huper.
It should really be a genitive, according to Manny's chart.
I used huper.
Manny's mania.
How about huper?
That's what you mean, concerning us? All right, that's okay. Huper, humor, anyway. All right, this is the daughter concerning whom I spoke. This is the daughter. That's feminine. Aute, this.
Okay.
S-T.
A-S-T.
It's the daughter.
Tugat.
In the nominative.
Ter.
Tugater. Concerning whom?
Peri.
Peri, this is her daughter, so it's feminine. Peri. And you want it in the.
He.
Peri in the genitive. Concerning, so you can have hain, but have haste. Peri haste. On the genitive. Concerning whom? Pre haste. Concerning whom?
Oh.
I spoke.
You got ooh that.
L. To speak is.
Apon.
Apon. Concerning whom?
Apon.
Any questions on five?
So it should be hey, huh?
It should be.
Hey.
It
should be.
Yeah, concerning whom?
Hey. It's either hey or it could be. Haste, right?
Haste.
Because it's genitive?
Father, concerning haste. Well, I would say haste would be concerning. Peri haste, yeah.
Right. Huper, that would be the same thing.
Huper.
Oh, I got okay.
I spoke. Any questions further on that? All right, our final total, I should say, total maybe in some instances, would be 167 points. 75 and 92. There's our bell. 197. Excuse me, 167. Excuse me, 167. Got that? 167.
Okay. 159.
All right, 159. 95%.
158.
All right, let's see. 158. 158. That's 94.6 be 95. Okay, very good. Any questions further on anything? Got your papers and hand them in if you got them. And Larry, you got to check for that other exercise if you can find it, that right?
Yes.
All right.
I think I gave it to you.
Did I give it back to you and not record it? Is that what happened?
I don't think you gave it back to me because I just gave it to you last week.
Well, this is late right here. What's that mean?
That's last week's.
Oh, okay. All right. That's fine.
I came kind of unprepared last week.
And you think you gave it to me last week, huh?
Yes.
Well, I certainly don't have it. I don't know.
It was two exercises, wasn't it?
Was it in the back of another one of yours you have there? I'll see if you can check there.
I will.
Give me a second here what you got. All right. We want you to please close in a word of prayer. Just a little bit of lead you as we part this evening.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity that we had to study the language of your word. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to not only to study it, but to do it, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, keep up your good work and efforts.
Thank you.